session number 17361, Reel 4.
Mr. Glassbrook, Reel 4.
If you live within 25 miles, and I said I did because I lived just the other side of Windsor, so the next morning I went home on the Sunday.
What condition?
And they said to me, if you're in uniform, they won't take a fare off you, so you can catch the bus. You'll travel free. So I got on the bus, and I said to the chap, how far do you go? Do you go to Windsor? He said, yes. I said, all right, I'll go through to Windsor. He said, that'll be so much. I said, they told me that anybody in uniform travelled free. He said, don't you know the bloody war's over, mate? And that was it. And I got to Windsor, and I got another bus there. I asked somebody at the bus station when the next green line ran, and they looked at me and they said, good God, how long have you been out of the country? I said, 5 years. They said, well, that's when the green line stopped. 5 years ago. Yeah. What? So I went home from there.
What condition were you in by the time that you were got home?
Well, I was in a bit better condition than when we were released, because, as I've told you, General Patton said if you want anything, go out and shoot it or anything. And we had butchers with us, so we set up our own kitchens, and we took over a guest house, and we set up our own kitchens and that, and we had butchers with us, and they went out and killed poultry and pigs, that just took them and killed them. And also the old boy at the in the sloss across the road that had been taken away, he had a herd of deer on his estate, so we went and shot a deer and had some venison. We had plenty of vegetables, things like that. And in the guest house we even found some rice, so we had rice puddings and that sort of thing. Plenty of milk, because they had cows there, which we confiscated. And so I'd been fed up pretty well by the 3 weeks of pretty good living there, because we didn't go anywhere, we just sat and ate, you know, had 3 good meals a day. We had bacon and eggs every morning for breakfast.
Did you have any problems readjusting to civilian life?
When I got home, when I got home, of course, I was still in the army. And after 8 weeks leave, I went down to Sussex, redrove the tanks down there, which had obviously altered in 5 years, refired the guns, and then I was told I was going to Burma. So, anyway, we were supposed to go to Burma from Dover, and we were supposed to go on parade at 8 o'clock in the morning. So breakfast was at 6, and while we were having breakfast, it came over the radio that they dropped the Hiroshima bomb. So an hour later, all the tannoys started up and said, everybody stand down, no parades, everything's finished. And so shortly after that, I was sent down to Portsmouth, to Hilsey Barracks, and that was full of ex-prisoners of war, all regiments, and we were demobbed from there. About a fortnight later, I was home, demobbed. I'd been to Guildford, got my civvy suit, and so of course I got home, and my parents had kept the shop going all the war, so I had no option really. I went back in the shop and started work there rather than going back to Sainsbury's.
Did your war experience have any long-term effects on
you? Oh, yes, it's had long-term effect on me. I'm still getting it now. But I just buried myself in work. I tried for a pension. In those days, it was very hard to get a pension of any sort. And when I was demobbed, the MO said to me, I'm going to put you in front of the pensions board. You're in a hell of a state. I say I was better when I'd had all this food inside me. I'd certainly put on weight, but I'm not saying that physically I was much better, you know, my nerves were bad. And he said to me, I'll put you in front of the pensions board. So of course I went home demobbed, and about a month later I got a letter to say I was to go in front of a pensions board at Leatherhead. On a certain day, I went down there, and the pensions board consisted of one old boy sitting behind a table in a very large room, and he listened to what I had to say, and then he said, oh, I'm very sorry, he said, but I can't give you a pension. He said, I'll put you in a nursing home for 3 months. I said, I don't want to go in a nursing home for 3 months. I've just been a prisoner of war for 5 years. So he said, oh, well, I can't do anything for you then. So I said, right. So I started to walk out. And he said to me, I'll tell you what, young man. I said, what's that? He said, God knows what you'll be like in 10 years' time. So I went home and forgot all about it. So, of course, I buried myself in work. My mother and father died. I took over the business. And eventually, we moved to Cornwall. My first wife died from cancer and left me with 3 small children. So I moved to Cornwall. And while in Cornwall, I married my dear wife here.
So
that was some years ago now.
What was the worst effect on you from the war? Was it the fighting in France or the POW experience or what?
All of it. I'd say the prisoner of war experience mostly, because I got to a stage where I had terrible nightmares. Most of us do. And my wife said I nearly choked her one night while I was having a nightmare, and she got frightened, and it was then that they sent me into hospital over at Tor Bay, and they sent me from there to Brixham. I had a broken leg actually at that time. I broke my leg, and combination of the two, I was in some state. So my wife rung the pensions people, and they very quickly sent me to combat stress in Leatherhead. And that's a wonderful place. They were all men like me, 30 of them, all men who'd been through the war and had nightmares and one thing and another. And it was just a wonderful place. They got a staff capable of coping with it. Got a marvellous psychiatrist, Dr. Lucas, comes down from London every week.
Is the treatment by drugs?
No drugs. Just talking to you, getting you. They have 2 counsellors there, 2 lady counsellors, who take sessions 2 days a week, counselling, and it's mainly talking through it and realising that you're not on your own, that other people have gone through the same things as you and are suffering just as much as you do, and in some cases a lot more.
What's the official name of this place?
Tyrwhitt House.
Oh, in a minute.
No, don't get up because you've got the microphone on. But Turret House is not the official name.
No, it's the Ex-Services Mental Welfare Association, but they don't call it that. Just this one place, although it's run by them, it's called Turret House, and it goes under the heading of Combat Stress, because it's a charity organisation. The Queen Mother has a lot to do with it, and because everybody goes there doesn't like it being known as a mental welfare place, and they tried to do away with that heading and just call it Combat Stress, but the welfare people, they wouldn't let them.
How long have you been going to Turret House?
Oh, 5 years.
So it doesn't come under the government?
No, it's well, the government does fund it a certain amount through the war pensions people.
What feelings about the Germans has your experience left you with?
Don't like them. Don't trust them. Don't like them. I told you earlier on, when we mentioned the present situation with Europe, what Hermann Kohl said the other day, that in 2 to 3 years' time, Europe will be one. And it will be German. And in Austria, there's this man who has 30,000 followers, and they are all neo-Nazis. And in Germany today, with regard to Europe, they have the biggest unemployment problem there is. And they have riots over it every weekend. But they never put it in the British papers, because they don't want the British people to know.